God, your grace is enough. We thank you that you have covered us in the blood of Jesus. We ask now that the words of my mouth, that the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight and be to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. It's always, always, always good to be with you. And I don't know, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Steve Wishman. I was a pastor here for 9.5 years. We left about 5.5 years ago. And this place was a seedbed of God's love for a very young family. We came with 2 little kids, and now we have 4, and only 3 of them are with us because one's working and, you know, trying to pay for a car that he's already bought and make sure that he can put gas in it and stuff like that. We've grown up, and our growing up happened here, and you were such a huge part of that. And many of you have remained a part of that with your messages, your prayers to us over these years as we've led a little bit of a different kind of life since we've left here. And when I come back here and I think of preaching like, okay, 15 or 20 minutes or something, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. It's like, we need 2-3 hours. And so, I mean, like, somebody should order pizza and wings and some stuff, and let's hang out for a while. But I won't do that to you. I won't do that to you this morning. Actually, Pastor Jim, I've never done this, but I'm going to preach on Asher, the tribe of Asher. And I will tell you that when I'm done, Jim is going to need to do it again. But it was actually interesting to go look at this, because I hadn't looked up any of this before. I mean, other than knowing the lists of the tribes and knowing the sons, I really didn't know a whole lot. And I actually went back and watched the sermon from, I'm guessing it was last week, was Gad? Was that last week? So this week, Asher is from the same mother, from Zilpah, Leah's slave. So Gad and Asher are the 7th and 8th children born to Jacob from the same woman. They're the only two that come from Zilpah. And it's going to be interesting here in a minute because the play between these two is really interesting. Asher was the furthest north and west tribe of the 12 tribes. It is up in where modern day Lebanon is. It's right on the sea or the Mediterranean Sea. It was probably the best land of the 12 tribes. Rich, fertile land on the seacoast. It's a place where things grew very well. In fact, the symbol of the tribe of Asher was an olive tree. And Moses, as he pronounces the blessing over the tribe of Asher, it was our Old Testament reading, says, "Most blessed of sons is Asher. Let him be favored by his brothers, and let him bathe his feet in oil." Now, olive oil was like the currency of the day in biblical times. And they were rich in it, so rich in it that they could like stick their feet in it. And this tribe was blessed with money, with provision, with a beautiful, beautiful land. And it's interesting, if you go to the book of Numbers, which is just a really enthralling read, if you ever want to read the Bible, I'm just kidding, it's not. There's a lot of lists. But at the beginning of Numbers and the end of Numbers, you get the amounts of people in each tribe. And what's interesting to note is at the beginning of Numbers, Asher is the 9th largest tribe. It's way down the list of the 12. By the end of Numbers, they're 5th. They're just like growing. They're prospering. They're having children. And Asher, the name itself, means happy. It's just an interesting thing to think of. This tribe at the very top of the tribes is the one who, in all through the Old Testament, oil is kind of poured out and it flows over Mount Hermon, it flows over the beards of the priests, and it's almost as if the top tribe is just pouring out oil over the 12 tribes. That's the picture of Asher. By the New Testament, we only hear of Asher twice in the New Testament. Once is in our gospel lesson when Jesus, 8 days old, is brought to the temple for the purification rites and to be presented at the temple. And Anna, a prophetess who is of the tribe of Asher, is there. And this would be a wonderful whole sermon in itself of this woman who's a widow and has been a widow for a long time. She hangs out, a woman, at the temple, and she's a prophet. And when Jesus shows up, she starts telling everybody about this Jesus. That's who Luke decides to kind of, we have Simeon too in that same reading, but you have Anna lifted up as this prophet, this woman at the temple who's pointing people towards Jesus. But other than that, that's it. Until the book of Revelation when the 12 tribes are listed again. And there's really no other talk of Asher. So what happened to them? Did they get caught up in their wealth? We know in the Old Testament that it tells us that they didn't drive out the Canaanites. They actually settled in the land that was most inhabited by the Canaanites, the ones that we always hear about that Israel is fighting against. And they dwell in this land, but they don't drive them out, as many of the tribes don't. And so they kind of intermix. They don't follow what God says. Did they just get caught up in the other people's beliefs? Did they get caught up in the amount of money that they were making? I don't know. We aren't sure, but they kind of just disappear off the map as we go into the New Testament. It's almost certainly true that they were the first tribe wiped out when the Assyrians came in and wiped out the northern 10 tribes. Because Assyria would have attacked from the north, and they were the furthest north. So it's likely that they lost their identity and their groupness of their tribe first. And I thought it was interesting, listening to the sermon from last week, that these two sons, born to Zilpah, you had Gad last week, who were kind of like the Texas ranchers, I believe is the way you portrayed them. They asked to be on the front lines. They asked to take the land across the Jordan out where they were on the edge so that when people came in first, they would be against those peoples out there and they would protect the other tribes. And they kind of became known as like the better ranchers, even better than Judah and the others in the south. And from the same mother comes the blessed tribe, the one who will bathe their feet in oils, who will feed kings, the Old Testament tells us. The one who's just blessed with abundance to pour out on all of the other tribes. And I'm going to make a shameless move here now and talk about Breathe Life Ministries. But I actually think these two, born to the slave woman of the unfavored wife, and how they go together is really fitting for Breathe Life Ministries, which is the ministry that my wife and I have just started recently. So when I think of Gad as the frontline ranchers, I think of Christian leaders, of people who are out on the front line of God's gospel, not just leaders, not just pastors in churches or youth directors, but also Christian leaders who are leading out in education, who are leading out in business, who are leading out in taking care of people in hospitals and nursing homes, and that they're on the front lines of ministry to God's people, and that it can oftentimes be a very lonely place. And that is what drove us into following God into this ministry called Breathe Life Ministries. As we noticed, as we talked to people, fully a third of church workers were isolated from any relationships where they could talk about the struggles of life, faith, and ministry. The only people they would tell us they could talk to was their spouse. And a lot of times they didn't want to tell their spouse because they didn't want to taint their view of what was going on within their church. And so they carry these heavy burdens, and then they have nowhere to go with them, and they suffer quietly until things and the wheels come off. I just met recently with a young pastor, and he found us online, and he called us, and I drove a couple hours to go meet with him, and he told me, he said, I have a girl in my youth group who committed suicide a year ago, and it was just really hard on our church, and I had to really put things together and kind of bring the youth group together and bring the parents together. And I was just pouring out to these people. And then I went to a couple of my leaders. This is a young pastor. And he went to a couple of his adult leaders and he said, I need to talk to someone about this. I'm hurting too. And the response was, it's just ministry. Just push through. And when I found him, he's tired of pushing through. He said, I need somebody to wrestle with this with. I need somebody to pray with, someone to help me see God in the midst of the things that are going on around me. And so when I think of Gad last week and I think of those frontline people, I think of people like that who are on the front lines. And then I think of Asher, the one who had the oil of gladness and happiness, the one who could bathe their feet in oil. And really, that's what we want to be at Breathe Life Ministries. In fact, Asher's symbol was a tree, and the symbol of our ministry is a tree with a swing in it. You'll see I have on a shirt that says rest. Our three key words, the three key gifts of God that we help people rediscover are rest, healing, and play. And the idea is that in the strength of God, in the tree that he is in our life, and that he surrounds us and covers us, we can also learn to play again, to delight in the things of the Lord. But there's a path through rest and through healing from the wounds, our own wounds that we've done to ourselves, from our sin, and the wounds of others. And that's what Breathe Life Ministries is all about. Right now, we just visit with people wherever we can. Sometimes we bring them in and put them up at a bed and breakfast for a few days, one-on-one, two-on-two, people who are married and in ministry, people who are leading things in their communities, principals of schools, business people, and we give them time to open up the deep things of their life and see where is God in this, so that they can go back in with open eyes and realize that God is with them and for them. Right now, we just do that just by driving around and putting people up in a bed and breakfast. One day, we would love to open up a whole retreat center in the hill country of Texas and bring people in from all over and do this, and go all over and do it in people's churches, bring it to them where they are. And as I was thinking about this for the people of Peace, who are so dear in our heart because of the time that we spent here, I thought about, in some way, all of us have a front line. In some way, all of us have a battle in our life somewhere. It might be a family relationship. It might be a work relationship. It might be some event that happened that just keeps trailing you through life. It might be a big change in your life that you didn't see coming. It might be a diagnosis that you didn't want to hear. In some way, all of us have some front line in our life, and we can't go to that front line all by ourselves. And that's what the church is all about. And so the thing I want you to hear this morning is the gift of God that a community like Peace is that it's a place to come and bring your greatest things in your life, your front line, and share it with somebody who you can trust and you're close with, and look for God together in that, and hold each other up. I want you to hear these words again from Moses' blessing, and take these as your own as you walk. It says, there is no one like the God, I'm going to change a little bit here, of Peace Lutheran Church and of its people, who rides across the heavens to help you, and on the clouds in his majesty. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out your enemies before you, saying, destroy them, so that you, people of peace, will live in safety, and you will dwell secure. I want you to picture something. I want to picture that you work in an AIDS clinic. Once a week, you go there to help the people who come. And that, you're going to have to pretend with me a little bit, there's now a drug that as long as you take it once a week, you're fine. You can live a normal life. But you have to come back every week. And so you go to that place faithfully, and you serve there, and you love sitting next to people and comforting them as they receive their treatment and helping them. And all the while, you know that you have AIDS too. But you don't say anything because you're ashamed. You're ashamed of how you got it. You're ashamed that you even have it. You're ashamed that you would need something to help you to continue to live. And you don't say a word about it. Every week, you keep showing up and you serve with a smile and you love the people there, but you never share your need, and you waste away and you die. And the reason I share this story is that my experience is that a lot of people who go to church live that way. They go to church to serve others, and that's a noble thing. In fact, God calls on us to do that. But if we don't come for our own need, the need we have of Jesus, the true needs that are inside of our heart, and we never open those up, we're like that person in the clinic who's just helping others, and it's a help to them, but you're missing out. The first thing about being a part of the body of Christ is bringing your need and realizing what needs you have. And I would encourage you to develop relationships with at least one or two others in the body where you can share what your needs are. You can share your fears. You can share your dreams. You can share the things that have wounded you. You can share the sins that you struggle with. And they will walk with you. They will pray with you. They will love you. To me, this is the blessing of Asher, the blessing of the oil that all of us has received in the Holy Spirit, is to pour out our lives to each other and walk with each other through the real things of life. And if we aren't doing that with each other, then what are we doing? Jamie and I have been called to do that with church workers because we found that so many of them don't have anybody they do that with. They're scared to talk to people. And they end up holding up, and at some point it all falls apart. Hear these words of God for you again today. The eternal God is your refuge. He rides across the heavens to help you, and on the clouds in his majesty, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out your enemies. Whatever front line you're on, the oil of Asher pours over you. The Holy Spirit is for you. Jesus is for you. And with each other, we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and not fear any evil. Amen. Father in heaven, you are for us. Jesus, you tell us that in this world we will have trouble, but take heart, you have overcome the world. Pour out the oil of happiness over us, and pour out the oil of friendship over us, that we may walk with each other in these days, that we may be known to each other in the depths of our souls, that we would know each other well, the dreams that drive us, the fears that plague us, the sins that weigh us down, and that together we would walk in the light with you and be healed and have life. I pray it for these whom I love so much at peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.